good to be back with everyone, and certainly have enjoyed our service and our songs this morning. Appreciate everyone that filled in for me as I was gone for two services and was out of town as I was. I got to preach in Pagosa Springs while I was vacationing and traveling over there with a small congregation that meets there. Good to be back, and it can't say how much encouragement it is. We know we have a lot of knowledge in the congregation. People are able to fill in. I think Wednesday night, who filled in? Chad. Chad filled in Wednesday night, and then Sunday morning was Chad. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. And this morning, Dave's filling in, and it's not that the most knowledgeable person stands before you, but you certainly have blessed me with the time and opportunity to be an evangelist for you here and to study and develop my own knowledge and skills of being as an evangelist. And no doubt we have a good group of men here, very knowledgeable as well. And I appreciate everything that was done. And David filling in this morning in the class was very good as well. As I was mentioning in our Bible class, our discussion this morning is it kind of overlaps some of the things we talked about in Bible class. And really, some of the things we really talked about is a good lead-in to our lesson and good basis for our lessons. I did hand out for the kids for them to look at and for y'all to follow along as well. The reality is we know in our world, and we see even from Scripture, that names mean something. Names have meaning. My very first point is Simon, son of Bar-Jonah. We talked about him several times this morning. He was also called Peter, which was a stone or a piece of rock. It had meaning. And Jesus used that in Matthew 16, and we're going to turn over to that as we go through our lesson this morning, because there's some other names we're going to talk about there. The Apostle Paul. He was originally Saul of Tarsus, wasn't he? But when he converted, his name changed. He changed his name. Remember Abraham or Abram originally? Abram? His name was, in Strong's, is High Father. But Abraham, as he was renamed by God, meant father of a multitude. Sarai, similar matter, and on. Daniel had a Chaldean name, Belteshazzar. Do you remember that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had Hebrew names. Jacob was renamed Israel. Barnabas and Justus were similar. On and on and on. And there are certain names we don't use today. Ever anybody name their child Jezebel today? Oh, no. No, no. What about Ahab? Hitler? Judas? How many Judases do we know? Their names mean something. No, they carry weight. They have some of them because of history, but there's things we know. And sometimes I'm a junior. You may be a junior or a senior or a third or a fourth even, and so on and so forth. So we realize names have meaning. And there's importance in names. We also realize when it comes to scriptural things, when it comes to things that God has established and ordained, God has set certain names. We have certain names that we use for the church. Church of Christ. Church of God is used in the New Testament. Church of Living God. The church. Church of the firstborn. Church of the saints. House of God. All those are official titles and uses for the assembly of Christians. And in the effort of doing Bible things, Bible ways, we recognize that we use those as a pattern, and we have Church of Christ in front of this building for that reason. Because it is called the Church of Christ. We have approved titles, and we're very particular about how we use it. I am not a bishop or an elder. I am a pastor. There's oftentimes in our world, I look at the preacher being the pastor. So in the effort of doing Bible things, Bible ways, according to what we've been commanded, we realize that the term elder, bishop, or pastor is a certain position in the church. And we realize that word has a certain meaning and purpose. Deacon. Preacher or minister or evangelist. It means certain things. And then for all of us, being a Christian or a saint, a disciple, servants, even soldiers is the term used. So we use those. And we even have forbidden names. We even have forbidden names. To call someone a rabbi or father is not approved of. Jesus told us in Matthew 23, don't call no man rabbi or father. And yet we see so many in the world just go completely against that. And I catch that with my slides. Sorry about that. So we even see that their names are forbidden. So the idea that exists in Scripture for that as well, the commandment for that actually from Jesus. And so, as we see our title of our lesson, who is Jesus? And we talk about the importance of names. Jesus has many names and titles and even works in the Scripture. And so my lesson this morning is about who is Jesus? Just who is Jesus? Knowing that names have meaning, and especially God-given names had meaning. Jesus has many names in Scripture, and they have meaning behind each one of them. Sometimes we don't think about it. We just use them every day. We talk about Jesus Christ. We talk about Emmanuel. We hear that. We don't use that a lot, really, do we, Emmanuel? But we hear it. And so these are some of the names that we'll talk about in the lesson and see where they came from. And I think we're going to see as we look at these how they originated. It helps us understand who Jesus is. Just who is our Savior? Just who is it that we worship? And so the first passage I want to look at this morning is Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And this is where it's prophesied about Jesus being born in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21, starting. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. So follow along with me there. Talking about Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now for all this was done, that might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child. She shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Now, actually, we see a couple of words there in there we're going to talk about today. But the first one we'll look at is Jesus. The actual word Jesus, if it was transliterated, is Joshua from the Hebrew. And if you think about Old Testament history and Jewish history, we know who Joshua was. Joshua was the deliverer. And to be named Jesus, that idea probably carried along with the Jews. When they realized that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus was the Savior, they probably thought about the idea that Joshua is the transliteration of that word from the Hebrew. And so there's weight associated with that, because those names mean something. And because names are given with that significance, we very likely that this was a relation to Joshua. Joshua was a savior. God was with Joshua and brought them into the land of Canaan and helped them to conquer the land of Canaan. He was their leader for many, many years. And so the first thing, as we talk about Jesus, Joshua was a transliteration, and the meaning of it is Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. And that is from Strong's is where that is original definition comes from. And so Joshua was also a very common name, or Jesus was a common name among the Jews, just like maybe James this day, or John. But like in a case like James, we also use the name Jim interchangeably, right? We talk about names. Well, Joshua and Jesus are the same. Jehovah is salvation. This is Jesus, the son, the man that was born of Mary, that was crucified and died on the cross, that's to save us from our sin. And Jehovah is salvation. And that's what he brought. Jesus brought salvation. What about the other word that was mentioned here also in Matthew chapter 1? Emmanuel. By the way, Jesus is actually used 975 times in the New Testament. You're not probably surprised about that. It's used a lot. Jesus, 975 times that word is referenced in the New Testament. Emmanuel, though, is only referenced one time, and this is it. Here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, where Emmanuel is. And it's also mentioned, though, twice in the Old Testament. It's spelled with an I in that case. Emmanuel, both the same word. And the meaning of that word is God is with us. Jesus' name, Emmanuel, is God with us. And that gets to the nature of Jesus. Sometimes people want to think that Jesus was just a man. Well, Jesus was a man and was holy man, but he's also God. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, was God with us. And God was with the men, and that was Jesus. Jesus, the man. God with us. That is the definition of that word. That's the meaning of that word. God is with us. And so Jesus was Emmanuel, God with them. God was among them. And as it was said here in this passage that we just read, Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be born with a child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." And of course, Scripture gives its own definition of that word for us there. So Jesus being called Emmanuel has a meaning that God was with them. And we have another, I have another lesson to talk about the deity of Jesus at some point in time, that Jesus was actually deity on earth as well, but we'll deal with that in a different lesson. We also see that he was called the Christ. That's another word we use often in it, Christ, Jesus Christ, we use it together. But have we thought much about what that means? And here's a passage that I want to go ahead and read in class, and that seems, you'll see why, obviously, now that we want to look at the whole passage. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. Since we've already read the entirety of it, I don't feel the need to right now. But notice in that passage there, that Peter's confession in verse 16, Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, what does that mean, the Christ? It has a meaning. It is actually the Messiah is the same as Christ. Messiah. We use that term also a lot. Messiah or anointed one. The one anointed by God. The one that God chose to come and to take that place, to be the Messiah, and to be the Christ, to be the Savior of mankind. God anointed, or Christ, using the terms, but Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. All those are the exact same term. And sometimes we don't get that, right? We use the word all the time. But that's what it means. Christ is the anointed one, or the Messiah. Referenced over and over again. We even read John chapter 1, where Andrew went and got Peter. Notice what he said there. And we've read this in class also. And John chapter 1, verse 40. "Of the one which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon. He said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is being interpreted, the Christ. That is what that word means. Now, in the end, we actually realize in Scripture, the Christ becomes a proper name also. Not just a term to describe Christ, but as a name himself. He is the Christ as a proper name. In Matthew 22:42, Jesus references that as a proper name. Matthew 22:42. And reading there, "What think ye of Christ?" Using it as a proper name. "Whose son is he?" he says there. And so we see it becomes also a proper name in Scripture, not just a title. And so we see how that word that we use so much and so frequently is actually represented as the Messiah, the one that they were waiting for to save them, the Savior of, and the promise, that the man, the one who fulfilled the promise to Abraham. And that's used 569 times in the New Testament, 569 times, both as a title and a proper name. And that's just the anointed one. We also see that later we are called Christians, right? Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the Christians or our disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. We are anointed ones also, aren't we? Christians, Christ-like, the term Christ meaning anointed one. We are anointed ones being Christians, aren't we? And so the name applied to us in a sense there as well. We also see in this passage in Matthew chapter 16 that we looked at another term that we want to look at this morning. The Son of God or only begotten. Not only was Christ Emmanuel or God with us, he was also the Son of God. The Son of God. And that was used, I found, 47 times in Scripture. And there's great meaning that comes with being the Son of God. Anybody that's a son of is their kin, is of their nature, is of their genealogy, is of their genetics. Christ was the Son of God. He wasn't just any man. He was God's Son, of God's nature. I believe God, Jesus was also deity on this earth. And so there is a blood kinship there with God the Father, our Creator. Jesus was the Son of God. He's also, in a similar sense, the only begotten. the only begotten. That's used six times in Scripture, in that he was born of woman on this earth. So he was begotten and God's only begotten son, the only son he had upon this earth. Satan is not God's son. No other entity or being in this world is God's son. Only Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, those terms we've already spoke of, is the begotten of God. And that is used many times in Scripture, and as we referenced in Matthew chapter 16, there that he is the Son of God. Verse 16, thou art the Christ, or the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So the Son of God reference there. We also see that not only is he the Son of God, we kind of talked about, he's Son of Man, born of Mary. He is of human race. He's not just deity. He's also of human race. That makes him, in some ways, equal to us in that he lived life just like we live life. He laid his head on a stone for a pillow. He suffered in the cold. He suffered in the heat. He hungered. He thirsted. He lived as a man. He was the Son of Man. And he proclaims this in Luke chapter 22, verse 67. You might have that. Luke chapter 22, verse 67. Of course, well, Matthew 1 is the reference I have there, which we've already read that one. But let's go ahead and look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 67. Being interrogated by here, art thou the Christ? Art you the Messiah? They ask. Tell us. And he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I will also ask you, you will not answer, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. He even proclaims himself to be the Son of Man. He was a man on this earth, born of woman. And Stephen said he saw the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God when he was being persecuted and killed by the Jews. So Jesus was the Son of Man. Great power in knowing that Jesus, as he lived on this earth, walked as a human being walked, and was endured all the things we endured and all the trials that we endured. He endured himself here while he was here on this earth. We also find out that Jesus was creator. Sometimes we don't think of him that way. I know for many years I didn't. You should think of him in that context, Jesus being the creator. That's what Scripture tells us. Jesus is our creator. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same was for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light, that the very true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood of not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Emmanuel, being God with us, was our creator. Notice that back in verse 3 and 4, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1, also another reference in one of Paul's letters to the church there at Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, I believe it was verse 16. Yes, starting verse 15, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. You hear that? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, the visible, the invisible, there be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And it is before all things, And by him all things consist. I'm sorry. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Jesus is our creator. Jesus is our creator. And once again, and all these terms helps us define who this Jesus was that walked this earth. He is our creator. He is our creator. He is our God. We also see in John chapter 1 here where we read that Jesus was called the Word. And in that, it talks about being enlightened, didn't it? In him was life, and life was the light of men. Jesus brought light to this world. Jesus brought life to this world, life and light. And all that kind of can be summed up in what the Word does, can't it? The Word itself enlightens us. The Word itself teaches us. The Word itself gives us life. Jesus is called that Word because he brought that. He brought the Word of salvation. He brought the Word of God. He brought the words of eternal life that we could live. And Jesus is the one that communicated those. And how did he do that? He did that by sending his Son, by first of all, teaching his disciples, and then giving them the power through the Holy Spirit to divulge the truths of God, to help guide the apostles in their teaching and preaching and the writing of the Word so that we could live and have life ourselves. Jesus is that Word, as it's called here in John chapter 1. And he lights the world and he gives life to the world, both through his sacrifice that he made and through the Word that he left for us. And so maybe as we talk about Jesus, there are actually, I have 80 terms used to describe Jesus in the New Testament. 80, 8-0. So we got lessons for like many years to come here, right? Lots of lessons. And we'll do some more of these. It helps us, I think, and it helps me to understand who Jesus was. He was not just some God that lived on this world. Jesus was man. Jesus was God's anointed. Jesus was the Joshua for Christianity. Jesus was the Messiah, the one they waited on to come, the anointed one of God, the Christ, as a proper name, as we are Christians. And properly, I think the anointed ones here, appointed and selected by God as we obeyed God in the gospel. We see how I hope that the names for Jesus help us to see who he was. He was the only begotten of God. He is God's Son. He is God of God's blood, of God's kind, of God's nature. But he's also of man's nature, of flesh and blood, just like us. And endured all the struggles in this world, the heat and the cold and whatever, hunger and thirsting, just like we. He is our Creator, and he is the Word that lights us. And this is our Jesus. You know, in many religions, there's lots of different gods. I don't know of any gods or religion, false gods they are, obviously. But our God came and lived with us and lived in our world and showed us the way. He lighted the way for us. He showed us what was right. He showed us how to live what was right. He showed us how to fight the temptation and test that Satan gives us and do it successfully. Not only did he show us those things, he also has an ear for us to listen to us. He wants all people to obey him. He wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to live with him forever, for all eternity in heaven above. There's no other God in this world like that. And they're all false gods in that. But this is who our God is. This is the God, the true God that we worship and we serve. If you believe in Jesus, he is commanded at the end of the Gospels, as he spoke to his disciples, as he was about to leave this earth, Matthew chapter 28, I'll read that. This is his instructions for us that as we live here. He says, go to his disciples here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, in baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That is our Savior. He's commanded us to be baptized, have our sins washed away. If you've done that, and you've fallen away, if you've failed to meet the pattern that Christ has left for us and stumble along the way, we have the example where we pray to God. If those sins be forgiven, if it's of a public nature, we encourage you to make that public confession here this morning. Make your life right with God so that we can all be together with Him when our life comes to this end. So if you're anyway subject to our gospel's call this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing our psalm of encouragement?